Welcome to Rebel Health Radio, bringing the best in alternative and integrative medicine to your ears. Well, hello everyone. It's Patricia Warby of Alchemy Therapies and my emotional audit and everything else. And today I want to talk about the difference with men and women and why men in particular may be reticent coming for therapy. Now, we tend to think when we look at the physiology of the human experience that men and women are entirely the same, but of course they're not. Both biologically and psychologically, they're very, very different. For instance, the way that the left and the right side of the brain communicate is very different in men and women. So you've heard the joke that women are able to multitask and men can't. Well, turns out that has a biological basis. There is a thick layer of neurological tissue in between the left and the right hemispheres called the corpus callosum. It's a sort of nerve center bundle, which allows communication between different areas of the brain, and it's thicker in women. So you've heard the joke also that women's brains are smaller. Well, that may be the case. It doesn't mean we're less intelligent. It just means we're differently organized, I suppose. The other thing, everybody talks about the stress response as if it's the same in men and women, and it's not. So men are much more likely to be tipped into fight and flight, which is the sympathetic response and the kind of angry, defensive response. And women are much more likely to go into a kind of, I need to activate, but I need to get help, the tend and befriend, as it's sometimes called. And what we've noticed is that fight and flight tends to be modeled in the brain by activation of your right, unfortunately, this is a really long-term orbital prefrontal cortex, all right? It's a part of the brain just behind the eyes, but at the front, so prefrontal, it's in the prefrontal area, but there's the right and the left, and they're different. And the right tends to activate in fight and flight, and the left tends to go less activated, but only, well, much more so in men than women. And so possibly that's one feature. It doesn't describe the full range of effects in the body, because we're not just talking about the brain, of course, we're talking about responses in the body, because as I've said many, many times, you know, the way you feel actually impacts your brain functioning. So your emotions are really important too. So it's not all about the brain here. It's about the whole system and how it communicates via your autonomic nervous system, the vagus nerve in particular, how that communicates with the organs of your body and creates a story of your life, whether you're safe or not safe. And what I've noticed is, firstly, women tend to come into therapy much more readily because they realize they have a problem. They're much more healthcare oriented, I suppose, because historically they've taken care of children and other people, maybe elderly parents and so on. And so they're much more aware of that impulse to take care, to tend and befriend. Men, on the other hand, will likely, and this is a terrible generalization, and I know there are plenty of men who wouldn't do this and plenty of women who would, ignore symptoms until they get really, really bad. But it definitely is in my clinical experience that men will come only when forced to, because something has happened that they simply can't get over, whether it's a breakup of a relationship or an injury that they've had, you know, pain in the body that hasn't healed after many, many months. And they've lost the capacity to just believe that they can get beyond it. And so that's when they're likely to reach out to me. Now, I've had a lot of men come and see me recently, which is great. And it's sobering, though, to realize that men feel a great deal of shame also about having to get help, which women may not have quite so much. I think the feeling is that I should be stronger, of course, because the culture tells men and boys that you should not be emotional. You should bury your emotions and you should just be strong in all situations and be the bearer, if you like, of the culture's dysfunction. It's insane that we expect people to not be supported and to not feel their emotions, which are such a huge part of what makes us human. Okay, so it's really key, I think, for men to understand that they were children once. Okay. And what happens in childhood is really landscaping of the way your brain responds to experiences in adult life. It's what we call a landscaper of the brain. Okay. So if your early experience lacked relational safety, and by that I mean having the presence of a safe, attuned other, usually a mom or dad, someone in the family that could be present for you. And if you happen to be highly sensitive in some way emotionally, and a lot of men are, I mean, in the population as a whole, 25% or so are highly sensitive people, and it's equally spread amongst boys and girls. Okay, so as you grow up, you're likely to have as many sensitive boys as girls. That's a really important piece of information. But in adult life, we tend to see much more emotional suppression in men. And where does that go? It doesn't disappear. Okay, if you've had experiences in childhood that you weren't able to deal with at the time, they don't disappear. And that's unfortunately the story and why trauma is a real thing. It goes into the body as a sort of impulse to try and remember what happened to you in order to avoid it in the future. But of course, that can get terribly stuck because it's completely unconscious. You're not really aware of what's in your body. And men particularly so, perhaps because they don't menstruate, you know, women have much more sort of connection with their bodies as physical things that sometimes are painful and yeah, sometimes make life very, very hard. But it's stored in the body, therefore, as a sense impression of threat, potential threat. And the brain is very good at reading those signals. It creates anxiety. And men certainly suffer with anxiety just as much as women. It can be a more depressive style, melancholic, if you like. That depends on your cortisol levels. If you're very high, you're much more likely agitated and anxious. If they've gone really low, because it's just been such a long time of chronic overstimulation, you're much more to be likely that kind of really depressive, melancholic. You can hardly be bothered with anything. We see those states an awful lot in people who had classic childhood trauma, so abuse, betrayal, humiliation of some kind, you know. So it isn't over as far as your body is concerned, all right? And it will come back to present the bill, as I think Bessel van der Kolk said. He's a professor who talks a lot about trauma. You know, one day the body will present its bill. And the bill, in other words, is the symptoms that you experience, whatever that might be, pain, dysfunction, difficulties concentrating, whatever it is. These are trauma symptoms and they can be healed. And what it needs is relational safety with a person who feels safe to you, who isn't emotionally dependent on you. That's why it's very difficult to do on your own or with a beloved. Although beloveds can be very helpful, many of my clients struggle with relationships hugely. And so their beloveds don't hang around very long, or they tend to avoid relationships after a while because they're so painful to them. That again is a trauma response because you find it difficult to trust another. And so you use your coping strategy or your compensatory mechanisms, whether that's clingy, or, you know, just wanting connection, but kind of also being quite demanding of that and quite nervous of it, or being totally avoidant and saying, well, I don't need anyone and I'm perfectly all right the way I am, but secretly feeling alone and isolated. And those are strategies that you adopted as children because that fitted the family model. It allowed you perhaps to make sense of what you experienced. A child cannot come to the conclusion that what they are experiencing is due to the failures of the family, the parents in particular, because that would imply a disconnect. And that's simply not an option for most children. You can't just move on, run away, disappear, or fight where you are. You're very dependent as a child. So much more commonly, what the child will do is decide that they are the issue, that they are at fault. And therefore, because the problem resides in them, the strategies develop in order to compensate for that. And so the clinginess, for instance, is if only I could get help, if only I could be good and someone would acknowledge me, then they would love me again. And the avoidance strategy just says, it doesn't matter what anyone thinks about me because I am an independent person and I will deal with whatever I need to. But of course, that ignores the huge contribution that kind of emotional nurturance and support has on the developing brain. And so, we have, as I've said before, children in adult bodies, most of us, I include myself in that, trying to form relationships. So it is very difficult. And certainly men, when they kind of find these difficulties, feel this intense shame about why they can't form a relationship that lasts, or why there's certain patterns that keep repeating, when they're just trying to do their best to establish a safe connection. So unpicking all of this does require an open heart, okay? An open heart of connection, a heart-based connection with another person who does not judge you. All right. And I hear of a lot of dysfunctional behaviors when I'm working with people, but I can't be in judgment of that person because I know I've shown a few of those myself. And this is a human being who's just seeking love and connection. The dysfunctional behavior is not the person. The impetus to be your authentic self is always there under the surface, under the symptoms. And having a safe connection with someone else who can just help you explore that without fear is the way that you can heal this. Now, I'm not the only person talking about this. So many others are talking in this space. Gabor Maté, who's written some fabulous books, including The Myth of Normal, which is his latest opus, which I'm still working my way through. I'm halfway through now. Also, some of the people I've seen online, Bessel van der Kolk, Teal Swan, who talks a lot about trauma, having experienced it herself and talks a lot of sense. She may be a little out there for some. She's certainly on the esoteric side, but really has such a gift for understanding the deeper meaning of being human. And there are so many other people I've covered in the past, Esther Perel, for instance, Brené Brown. They're just talking about this deeper meaning and this connection with your emotionality, which, after all, is what gives you health. Okay, if you can express your emotions, you can be healthy. If you repress your emotions, chronic disease, dis-ease of one kind or another is almost inevitable. And so, if you would like to come and heal and explore who you really are underneath your coping strategies, well, you can contact me on alchemytherapies.co.uk. You can always find me here on YouTube, or you can read my book, The Scar That Won't Heal, which I wrote in 2015 now, although it has been updated in 2021. After the COVID pandemic, because that was a major societal trauma, and I felt it needed commenting on. So, folks, if this is of interest to you, and if you happen to be male listening to this and have always thought therapy's not for me, come and experience somatic therapy because it's very, very different. It's not based on talking, right? It's based on noticing sensations in your body and processing them. And so that they can be let go of. And it's a very organic process and it doesn't involve a lot of soul searching or intense discussion. It can be entirely discussing just the nature of feeling and allowing that to process somatically. So you don't actually have to talk about your pain if you don't want to. Obviously, it helps, but we deal with things in a very different way to perhaps normal psychotherapy or counseling. But I would welcome you all if you want to come see me to get in contact. And as ever, please comment if you enjoyed this video and I will read them all. Thank you. Thank you so much. Take care. Bye for now. Hey, hope you enjoyed listening to Rebel Health Radio. Do subscribe and look forward to catching you soon.